also tells us that you intend to treat this as a real business. So if there's ever a dispute or a problem, you're dragging to court for commingling, or someone wants to take your personal assets, whatever it may be, this operating agreement shows what you have intended, and it shows that this business is legit.
Welcome to Bold and Branded, a podcast where we discuss the exact steps you need to take to leave your 9-to-5 and step out on your own. From taking bold steps to building a brand, we are here to give you actionable tips so you can walk away and build your business, along with a dose of encouragement, because let's face it, entrepreneurship is a bumpy ride. I'm your host, Courtney English, attorney and entrepreneur, and I've worked with hundreds of business owners just like you. I know exactly what it takes to step out on your own and find success while doing it. Welcome to Bold and Branded.
Thanks for tuning in to another episode of Bold and Branded. In today's episode, we're going to dive into the foundations you need to protect your online business. I'm talking the legal legwork you need to lay from the beginning. But I'm a realist, and I understand that sometimes the beginning has moved on. We're in it, and we got to go back and fix some things. That's okay. This episode, you're going to walk away with a real framework on how to do just that. Let's dive in. First off, when you start an online business, you need to have a legal entity that protects you. I'm speaking mainly about limited liability companies, LLCs. LLCs are created in your state. They're filed typically through your Secretary of State's website or Division of Corporations if you have that. And that LLC is an entity that you will own. It's a business. It makes you, we'll say, legit. But the value in an LLC is that it protects you. If you own a business, your money flows in and out of that LLC. Your assets are owned in that LLC. The LLC can provide very valuable protection for you as the business owner and for your assets. Now, an LLC, while it might be as simple as filing with the Secretary of State or Division of Corporations in your state, there's a key component that many business owners miss. So I'm going to break this down into subcategories. So number one, when you file your LLC, you're often filing articles of formation or articles of organization, depending, again, state language. But they're articles. It's a document that talks about how it's managed and who owns it and some basic information. Again, each state has a little bit of different nuances on addresses and things like that. But what you need to know is you go to your Secretary of State's website, you look up starting an LLC, and there should be an online document you file and work through their wizard process, if you will. This typically necessitates a filing fee. It depends where you live. That state fee can vary greatly. And then you may have to pay that fee annually to keep it active. Again, depends where you live. In the state of Missouri, you do not. You pay it one time. In the state of Illinois, you pay it yearly. So check that on your state. The second key piece of this is once you have your LLC filed, you need to make sure you have your operating agreement. Now, I love to do these simultaneously. I like to have a nice, well-drafted operating agreement and then get the LLC filed. And I've had this conversation with the business owner, and we're kind of working these things together, tandem. However, I realize that's not reality for many folks, but that operating agreement is absolutely key. Here's why. In some states, the protection of an LLC is moot if you do not have an operating agreement. That means that protection of the LLC is completely void. You have absolutely no protection if you do not have that back-end operating agreement. So you need the operating agreement. The operating agreement also tells us that you intend to treat this as a real business. So if there's ever a dispute or a problem, you're dragging to court for commingling, or someone wants to take your personal assets, whatever it may be, this operating agreement shows what you have intended, and it shows that this business is legit. my next piece on this. Once that LLC is filed, you have that operating agreement. You need to go get your EIN. Your EIN is free. F-R-E-E, free. This is also important for a lot of reasons, but I don't want you to get scammed on the internet. I've had people call me who've paid for their EIN. Should not be paying for your EIN. Your EIN is the employment identification number that's issued by the federal government. It is free on the IRS's website. You can type in your social security number, your name, your address, and it'll spit out an EIN for you. Again, there's a wizard that's going to ask some more questions, but it's really a step-by-step process you should work through. Now, once those pieces are done, your second step is a new step. And I'm recording this in the time of 2024, so this is still a new step that many people don't know about, but it's the Corporate Transparency Act. The Corporate Transparency Act, also called the CTA, went into effect January 1, 2024. What it requires is that anyone who owns a business entity, an LLC, a corporation, must file a beneficial ownership interest report, a BOI. This report asks for your driver's license, some personal information, as well as the name of your business and percentage of ownership. Now, there are a few exclusions. However, if you are just starting out in your LLC, you are not excluded. This law is intended to capture the people who typically are excluded. So it comes up a lot. I'm a small business owner. I'm a single member LLC. There's no way this is for me. You are exactly who they're looking to get the information from. So this CTA filing, Corporate Transparency Act, is done on FinCEN's website. That's the Financial Crimes Network. It's a federal government thing. It is not in your state. So again, check your websites and make sure you're in the right place to do this stuff. .govs are a pretty good indicator that you're in a legit site. Now, FinCEN's requirement started in January 1, and it states that you have, right now it's 90 days after you form a business to file. However, that will be 30 days. So best practices is as soon as you're all done and the Secretary of State says approved, open up a new tab and get that filed. Your EIN that we'll also want, but you can do all this in one sitting. So it should be easy for you to sit on the computer, get the LLC, the EIN, and the CTA filing done all in one sitting. So those are your framework number one. That's the absolute groundwork you want to have. Number two, all that money that you receive or spend needs to flow through that LLC. How do you do this? You need to open a business bank account in your business name, not some old savings account you've had sitting around before you got married or some vacation fund you never used. This needs to be an account that's actually in the business name. When you go to the bank to open this account, they're going to ask for your operating agreement. Aren't you glad you did that on the front end? That operating agreement is so important for many reasons, and a bank's going to want to look at it. It simply sets the expectations of how you're going to run your business and the relationship between you and that business. Again, it is proof that you intend for this to be a legitimate business and not just a hobby or something that makes a little extra money. So you want to have that with you as well. The bank's going to ask for that, your driver's license, your articles of organization, and your EIN. So all those foundational documents we did on the front end, you need to take to the bank. All the money needs to flow through this. So please do this correctly. What could happen if you didn't? If that money went through, let's say, your personal checking account, it would be easy for someone to make an argument that your business is not legitimate, that instead you're commingling funds, and now your personal assets are on the line. This is a huge risk. Do not take it. Of course, there are exceptions and rules of law and judges and lawyers involved when things can rise to this level, but don't give it to them. Don't give them that bone to pick. Set this up correctly from the get-go so you can protect yourself later. Now, what else do you need in these protections of your online business? You've taken the step, you started the entity, you went ahead, you got the business bank account. You've hopefully, at this point, are talking to a qualified tax professional. This professional will tell you, hey, you need to pay estimated quarterly taxes, or you need to be an S-Corp, and those payments look a little different as well. There's a couple options there, and we could go deep here, but what you need to know is you're probably going to pay taxes in some way, or you're going to have a decent amount of write-offs where you won't owe. But if you're tracking everything through that business bank account, you're going to know where you stand. After we have that legal foundation laid, I tell all of my online business owners, let's talk about intellectual property. We want to make sure that you've trademarked the name of your online business. We want to protect that brand so we can stop infringers and we can enforce and grow online. Protecting the brand name is typically where we start. This is your domain. This is the online title of your course. This is your website. This is whatever it is that people search to find you. It can even be your Etsy shop name. I've done many Etsy and Amazon seller trademarks over the years. There's a lot of value to having that registered trademark in those spaces. So if you're an e-commerce, don't turn away at this because there's value there as well. Now, once we've discussed trademarks, you want to make sure that you're actually using that trademark in commerce. Oftentimes, people will call me with an idea that they want to trademark and we'll go through that process, and then they're not using it. Trademarks can only get federal registration if they are in use. So you need to use your trademark. This is really important. Picking a trademark name can be tricky, and I highly, highly advise you work with an attorney after you have a name. More on that to come later. But what you need to know is that foundation of intellectual property protection, starting with trademarks, is of paramount importance because you're in the online space and this is your insurance policy. It's going to protect you if something goes south or someone copies you. Now, after we have these things working in the background, trademarks take some time. We also like to talk about copyrights. Copyrights can protect your course content, your designs, the creative things in your business that help to make you money or drive traffic to you. So copyrights also play a really important role here. And after we've had that intellectual property conversation, we've laid the foundations, we've identified those key pieces, I often push back to my final piece of this puzzle, which is contracts. You might think, what do contracts have to do with anything? I have an online course or a podcast or I sell things on Etsy. Well, did you know that the terms when someone opts into your course is a contract? Or the language you have on your Etsy shop, that's a contract. Yes, that's correct. And even sometimes with your podcast, the things that you market or sell or tie to revenue, they can be a contract too. So it doesn't have to be this formal long page document for it to legally be valid and enforceable. Just things you write in that Etsy shop box with the terms can be a legally binding contract between you and the customer. In your contracts, you should always contemplate possible risk. It is not just a black and white, you pay me this, I give you that. You should really be thinking through what could happen. Now, if you're listening to this and you're a business owner, you know that you run with a, we'll say, certain level of anxiety. I have yet to meet one who does not. And that's okay. I'm not here to knock it. We all have to have something that pushes us to think, right? Well, now is a good time to harness that and think through what could go wrong. I know we love to be optimistic in that founder entrepreneurial space. And again, I'm not here to knock that, but I'm telling you that you need to think through potential risk. What could happen? What about refunds? What about cancellations? What about, you know, promises or guarantees or warranties? These are all things that you should be thinking through. In my example of an Etsy shop, let's say that you crochet a blanket. You've used a certain kind of yarn that has a little metal in it that has that shimmery look, and you ship it off. You think, what could go wrong with a blanket? I have no risk. They paid me. I made it. It's beautiful. Well, let's say that person's allergic to the metal flake in the yarn. That's not your fault at all. But they could push back and think it was. They could think that you put something on that blanket. Maybe they don't even know. These little things like that can be disclaimers. They can be warranties. There's all kinds of language you can use to protect yourself and to make clear the boundaries and expectations of your products and of your service. Another example would be if you have an online course that you made some type of conditional guarantee. And let's say that your students just aren't seeing the level of success they thought they would, or what most your students see. They want a refund. They said you promised them and you did not deliver. Well, we'd want a contract there that has the specific terms of what that course is and when refunds can be issued. Because maybe they're not putting in the work, or maybe they're really not following your program correctly. You'd want to be able to identify what that is. And also, in these scenarios, as a business owner, you're going to want that feedback. You're going to want to know if you should tweak your processes, your deliverables, your products. So it's important that these contracts are laid in the beginning so that you have boundaries with you and your clients or customers, and that you have a way of getting feedback so you can grow your business in a way that supports you and can be streamlined. If you're always chasing problem after problem, you're going to take your eye off the ball of even growing the business. And contracts are a powerful way, again, of setting that boundary so you're not chasing issue after issue. You have terms that you agreed upon on the front end that you can refer back to, and this will go a long way if there's a dispute or issue. Okay, those are my basics for protecting your online business. While each business has unique needs, and of course, we want to identify all the ways we could help you as an individual business owner, know that this key foundation will set you up for success as you grow and protect you in those early stages as well. The good news is, once we have a solid foundation, it's purely maintenance from there. So while it might seem like a lot of work on the front end, it's time and money well spent to protect you later. That's all. Thanks for listening to another episode.
Thank you so much for listening to another episode of Bold and Branded, hosted by yours truly, Courtney English. Tune in each week for the latest and greatest tips and tricks for your business so you can also live bold and, of course, protect your brand.